to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman. Do.
Hey, everybody. Adjusting a chair. Welcome to a show where I adjust a chair. Okay. So here's kind of how today's episode works. I came across something dumb, which, you know, happens pretty frequently. I came across something dumb, which was a video. I fell into a brief hole on YouTube, which was not great. And the hole that I fell into was videos of people like talking about philosophical concepts. And it's like, for some reason, these caught fire on YouTube. You know what I mean? It would be like, what is stoicism and how it improves your life? And I think I listened to like one or two of these and was like, ah, this is crap. But then I came across one that was like, how to make things that you used to find exciting, exciting again. And, you know, lately I've been thinking, like, I used to read a lot of books, and I haven't read as many books as I used to, particularly like novels, literary fiction. I don't know if I find it boring. It's just like, I'm not super motivated to do it. Like when it's lunchtime and I'm like, eh, I could watch 20 minutes of a YouTube video, or I could read a couple chapters of a book. A lot of times I'll opt for the YouTube video. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll give this a try. Let's see what it is. What the person suggested was it's what I call the Major Payne effect. Okay, so the movie Major Payne, starring Damon Wayans, which I think was about a guy in the military who then has to be like a teacher at a school or something. And so it's like, oh, how is this wacky? It's a very kindergarten cop kind of thing. How is this, you know, hard ass military guy going to fit in with these kids? How is he going to translate his, you know, military hard assness to taking care of kids? And one of the first things that happens in the movie is he's like on a battlefield and he comes across a guy who's been shot. And then he's like complaining about being shot. So Major Payne breaks his fingers. And then he's like, oh, my fingers, what did you do? And he's like, see, you forgot that you were shot. So the idea is that, you know, by experiencing a different pain, you forget about the one pain, which I'm like, I get it, what you're doing here. But, you know, I guess it's sort of like how by watching Major Payne, which was not very good, I forgot about the pain of watching Blank Man, which was not great, but was better than Major Payne. So this video was kind of similar, but with boredom instead. And so what it was saying was like, what you should do is do really boring things. And then the things that you sort of previously found boring would be slightly less boring, you know, like relatively. So in other words, it's like, well, throw away your TV, throw away your video games, and unhook the internet from your house, and then reading books will be more exciting because it's more exciting than doing absolutely nothing. It's more exciting than sweeping the garage. And, you know, I'm like, I get it, and I think that probably works, but it's kind of like, why? You know what I mean? Like, why would I do that? I think the thing is like, that's very specifically not addressing my problem. And my problem is like, well, I want to do reading and have it be exciting. Do you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I kind of had a theory though, along these lines, is I was like, well, maybe if I can't improve my podcast, what I should do is tell people about things they could be doing that are more boring than listening to that. And I also was like, what would be a more boring hobby for me than reading, right? like, maybe what I could do is take up something that's way more boring. And then that way, you know, I will be like, eh, maybe reading's not so bad. You know, because in general, I was like, I think what I didn't like about the video the most is sort of the idea of like, well, reading's better than nothing. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's not my realistic set of options, right? But maybe if I made myself do an hour of something else for a day, you know, whatever. So I came across this article and it was kind of like boring hobbies that are not boring at all. And it was based on a Reddit thread because it seems like half of websites now, like BuzzFeed or Thought Catalog, are just like taking a Reddit thread and making it longer and more prosy, I guess, adding a couple lines, which I guess I'm complaining about BuzzFeed doing it. And it's exactly what I'm doing for this podcast. So maybe I should calm the fuck down, huh? So the first boring hobby was language learning. It's a really fun process, although sometimes it can feel like a grind. This is, by the way, a quote boring hobby that's not boring at all. I mean, I'm not going to learn a language as a hobby. That's not like fun for me. I don't give a shit. I mean, yes, I would like to learn. I would like to know another language. You know what? Language learning for me, here's the thing. I don't want to learn another language. I just want to know another language. This is something I come across, I think, when I talk to people about writing books all the time. I think there are a lot of people who want to be authors, but they don't want to write a book. You know what I'm saying? Or it's like, I think I discovered at some point in my life that I wanted to have run a marathon more than I wanted to run a marathon. And that's probably a more common experience with a lot of people, right? Is like, yeah, I'd rather have done this than do this. And maybe that's what separates a boring from a not boring. It seems like the boring ones, like learning a language, it's like, well, once you come out the other side, you have done a thing and that's great. And it's like enriching. But like the whole journey was just so boring. So I'm putting that out. I'm not going to count. That's barely even a hobby, in my opinion, is like, who's learning a language just for the hell of it? You know what I mean? I think you kind of need a motivation. It's like marathon, same thing, right? Like if you were training for a marathon, but you weren't going to run a marathon, that wouldn't be what I would suggest to a beginning runner for sure. Maybe someone who's like advanced and is really into it and whatever, I'd be like, yeah, go for it. You know what I mean? Like if you're having fun, whatever. But for someone starting out, I'd be like, it's good to have a goal. It's good to have a goal in mind. I'm going to go to Spain, so learning Spanish would be smart. But just kind of learning it, how do you know when you're done? Although I should learn Latin for crosswords. I learned this the other day. I was like, I think Latin and French are probably your big crossword languages. Because, you know, these fancy pants New York Times people love those languages so much. The other big ones, Roman numerals is a big one. Although, it's not like I don't really know Roman. The thing is, with Roman numeral clues in a crossword, they suck. Because it'll be like a 15th century year. And you're like, all right, well, how, that could be 16 anything. So I guess I know it starts with 16 or 1600 or however that works. But I don't know what fucking year it is. And there's 100 years to pick from? Not super helpful. You know what I mean? Not great. I had this idea for, I was like, what if I approached crossword, like New York Times, and I was like, guys, I got some ideas for you. Because I was thinking about how there are some things I rarely come across in crosswords, and I would categorize it as hippie bullshit, right? I rarely see things about like crystals and their healing effects in a crossword puzzle. It's not like, you know, this crystal does this or a crystal that has this positive health effect. And I feel like 90% of people who do the crosswords would be like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. Nobody knows. That's not a real thing. This is a terrible crossword. Wiccan stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be a good direction for crosswording, because it's like, hey, man, I'm just trying to expand people's horizons or some lie like that. And it's really like, well, I can just make these super easily because I can just have a book of crystals and then it'll be a challenging crossword puzzle because these people don't know anything about this stuff. The next habit is bonsai. I thought it would be a nice little jaunt since you only have to look after them like 3 times a year. It's all lies. Days planning and diagramming how I'm going to fuck up this tiny tree I've invested years in, multiple books bought and read, then like 12 hours wiring up this tree and painstakingly watching to see if the apex is going to do what I want or if that gin is going to fucking work out. I grow orchids. I thought they were bitchy. I had not yet experienced the wrath of a juniper in a place that does not hit freezing temperatures. I mean, I think bonsai would not be super boring for me because I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I would just buy it and then I would not be interested in trying to grow it in a specific way. You know what I mean? I would just be like, yeah, just, I don't know. Tree seems to know what it's doing, right? Let's just let it go nuts and figure it out for itself. So I guess in that way, it's boring because there's really not much to do. I would just be like watching it grow. I could do a new podcast of like a daily bonsai update. You know, how much has it changed since yesterday? Wouldn't that be fascinating? That would be worse than listening to this. So there you go. You could be listening to a daily bonsai update. So next time you're thinking this is boring, think about that. Making detailed and realistic maps. I grew up poor, so to entertain myself, I used to draw very realistic maps. I actually think that drawing maps is interesting to me. It would be fascinating, I think. I thought about this a lot during COVID shutdowns. I was like, I want to draw like a neighborhood map and just like try and figure this out and then like learn how cartographers did this back in the day. Like, how did they draw a shoreline that was pretty much correct? I don't understand how you do that and how it's like, okay, this is in proportion to this, in proportion to this. It's like combining things that I'm terrible at, math and drawing. And I'm like, wow, those are two things I'm not very good at. Oh, and spatial awareness, that's a third thing I'm not good at. And being outside is a fourth thing I'm not good at because I get sunburned so easily. It combines a lot of things I'm not good at into one activity, but things that I would like to be good at. But also, I guess it's like a, I don't know if I consider this a boring habit so much as I consider it a useless habit, right? Or hobby. It's like I could pull up a Google satellite image of my neighborhood in 2 seconds. And it's like, well, there it is. So there's no need for it. It's just not something that's necessary, but that's never stopped me before. Hence this podcast, hence every project I've ever done. I would not say any of the projects I have done are like necessary. You know what I mean? Would the world be okay if there wasn't a book called The Heistest Heist Ever Heisted, a heist story of a heist special editor's edition? Yeah, probably. It would probably not be much different other than, you know, a handful of friends upon whom I've inflicted this book having it on their bookshelf. If I'm thinking, you know, optimistically, having awkwardly donated it to the thrift store, if I'm not. I like to talk a lot about the thrift store because as an amateur author, I want people to know that if you donate one of my books to the thrift store, I will fucking see it. That's why I like to personalize them too, because then I know who it was. So don't donate it to the thrift store. Don't even think about it. Unless you want to just buy extra, you know what you should do is buy 2 copies, donate 1 to the thrift store right off the bat. You know what I mean? It's what you're going to want to do. And then you won't feel as bad about throwing the other one in the garbage because you'll be like, well, I did donate the other one. I don't really know how that logic works, but there you are. Model building. At first, your stuff is going to come out looking like crap. Too much glue, not enough glue. You cut the wrong piece. You have to put a decal on wrong, etc. But after a while, it starts to become peaceful and enjoyable to the point that you genuinely take pride in what you have built. So you go for harder builds and better quality, and eventually you have a massive collection of wonderful models and figurines. See, here's the problem with that. What do you do with all the models? You know what I mean? If I had a huge house, or like I had a house with a worthless room in it, I'd be like, you know, I could take up model building and then build a case to put all my models in, and that would be useful. I don't know. It wouldn't be a waste of time. But like, I have nowhere to put even 5 models. I'd have to get rid of something else that I probably like better than the models. I mean, I guess you could build them and then just trash them. Just be like, whatever. It's like that hobby of doing calligraphy with a brush and water and just doing it on the sidewalk and then it goes away. Except, you know, more painstaking. I guess you get to expose yourself to, you know, horrible chemicals with the glue, so that's something. I have always wanted to build a model. I feel like that's like a, you know, bucket list item for me. Just because it's like, what if I do like it? What if this is fun for me? I don't think it's going to be. But it could be, I guess. I don't know. I always think of model building as, well, there's two things. One is I think your parents buy you a model. Like, this can't be a thing kids are doing today. But back in the day, your parents bought you a model because they were like, this will keep him busy for like fucking 10 hours. You know what I mean? It's a much longer period of busyness and it's quiet. And it's not like when it's done, you're going to be, you know, driving this toy car all over the couch and then the counter and all this stuff. It's like, no, then you set it aside because it's pretty delicate and you don't want it to break. So it's kind of like a great hobby for a kid in theory. The problem is a kid is not going to be interested in doing that. You know what I mean? So that's the other. The real audience for model building, I think, is like middle-aged men to old men of like my age. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, that's probably the realistic group because you have like the patience. And you kind of have, as you get older, I think you start to appreciate things that you're just like, I just want to do a thing that I can kind of zone out and not pay much attention to. And so that's like, that's kind of the sweet spot. And that one of the things about a boring hobby, which like maybe that's part of why some people listen to this show, it's boring. And they're like, well, if I listen to it, you know, no one wants to listen to it with me. So it kind of becomes a thing I do. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a walk and listen to this show. But like running, I always found this way. But also there are many hobbies that are this way. The more boring it is, the less likely anyone wants to do it with you. So if you're a person who, like me, you know, needs some solo time, needs some Peter time, model building could be a great hobby. Because it's probably pretty fucking boring to watch someone build a model. I feel like that's why it's also the realm of old men, because I have this image of like long-term marriage, right? You've been married for 50 years. And I feel like, and then you're both retired, and it's like at that point in your life, you're probably both a little bit like, look, I don't necessarily hate this person at all. You know what I mean? Maybe I do love them and enjoy spending time with them, but I don't need to spend like every minute with them. You know what I mean? You probably get to the point where you're like, hey, they're, you know, I love them. They're my best friend. They're the person I most enjoy spending time with. But also we've spent like 50 years together. You know what I mean? We've spent a good amount of time together. So maybe, you know, maybe it's enough. Maybe if he wants to go off into the garage and build a model and it's like, that's not something I enjoy doing. I'm like, cool. Have fun. The next one is finding cool rocks. No joke. You get to walk about seeing cool things, breathing fresh air, and you get a geology lesson bonus. No. Rock collecting is another one. I did think about getting a rock polisher because I just thought that was interesting, I guess. I don't know. There's something about a rock tumbler that is like interesting to me because it takes like weeks. And I don't know, you put something in there, you wait like weeks, and then you take it out and it's a different thing. And the fact that it takes so long, I do find weirdly interesting. But collecting rocks is just like not, I don't know. There's just like rocks around and I could just look at them. Why do I have to collect them? This is coming from a person who has collected many things. Okay. And then there are certain things that I've come to realize, like, you know, collecting these is really not, I don't really, once you have it and it's at home, you're like, actually, it's more annoying to have this than to not have this. It's almost like collecting for me becomes pointless because you're like, I collect a thing and then it's just in my house and no one ever sees it except for me. And so it's like a little, I don't know. It's like, I don't get it. I don't know what that is. But also I feel like rocks, I just feel like I'll never find a cool rock. You know, as a kid, I had this friend who found cool stuff all the time. Like he'd find lighters on the ground or he found a rock. Okay. I think what happened is he found this rock that had like seashells embedded in it, which was awesome. Like tiny little seashells. And so we went back out to where he found that rock like countless times because I was like, I want to find one. Like, this is a fucking fossil. As an adult, I was like, I wonder if he got that. Like, his parents bought it for him or something at a museum or some shit. Because it kind of seemed like that was possible. But I'm not sure. I'm not accusing him of any, wrongdoing. You wonder. Because I would have easily been fooled by that as a kid. I was very trusting, especially of a friend. And so anyway, but like he always found stuff that was cool. Like he would be the kid who would find a geode somehow. You know what I mean? And I was the kid who never found anything. And so I think I've grown into the adult who never finds anything and just doesn't see that in my future. This person says research. If you're looking for information on a topic you enjoy, it's actually quite fun to learn a lot about it from different sources. I mean, I don't know if I would call that fun. I do, you know, I can get into researching something stupid, like for this podcast or like Potoween, finding stuff. But overall, I would not say that research is like fun. You know what I mean? Just as a general thing. Also, it's not really like research is the hobby there. If I'm researching, let's say, candy, I think candy is the hobby. You know, information about candy. But the research part isn't really the hobby. It's the podcasting about candy. The research is a necessary step. So I guess it's like taking a necessary step and making it to the primary step. But, you know, that's kind of like saying, oh, yeah, my hobby is maintaining a treadmill. And it's like, is it, though? Or is your hobby walking on the treadmill and maintaining it is something that you also have to do and maybe don't mind? But would you maintain treadmills that no one was using? You know what I mean? Okay. I don't know if this qualifies as a hobby, but I love making Spotify playlists for super obscure themes like the summer of 1997 or the feeling you get when you realize you're driving too fast and it's raining, or these would make a good soundtrack for a zombie movie. I'm currently working on a playlist of songs to play a stranded Victorian era time traveler to get them up to speed on 21st century American musical culture. Oh, this is nice. Well, sort of. This person said, I'm very flattered by the requests for a link, but I would rather not. My Spotify account is under my real name and face. I mean, that doesn't seem like a boring hobby. It seems kind of interesting to me, but I don't have enough widespread musical taste to like really do this. I would be curious to make like a summer playlist every year of songs from, you know, now it's been long enough that I'm like, 20 to 25 years ago. What was summer 20 years ago, 2004? What were the big hits? Because I feel like that would be a pretty fun nostalgia hit. But here's the other thing. I'm sure that playlist exists, right? Summer 2004 must exist. Has to exist. So I don't need to make it. I just kind of want to listen to it. But I also just kind of want to listen to it like while I'm working or something. don't really want to sit and listen to music, which is funny because, like, that is something I would do as a young man. Like, I would just listen to a CD and, like, lay on the couch or the bed and listen to it. And it's like, to me now, it's like I wouldn't dream of listening to music while doing nothing. I mean, I should try it because, you know, maybe it would be boring or maybe I would gain an appreciation for music. But man, it just feels like music is like a flavor enhancer that helps me do other things that I don't want to do. You know what I mean? It's like the spoonful of sugar that makes the long run go down. Raising plants. That's kind of same. Ooh, yeah. Lawn care. Okay, there's this guy who apparently kept a diary for like 30 years of like every time he mowed his lawn and like what, you know, areas he needed to keep an eye on and stuff like that. I gotta say, lawn care is like, that to me is like bottom of the barrel in terms of not just hobbies, but like gardening, what gardening is. Cause I don't understand. I mean, I live in Colorado, right? Colorado is a terrible environment for grass, like green grass. Cause we get like no water out here. It's a desert climate, and trying to grow green grass out here is stupid. And it doesn't look very good. Unless you want to put in so much to it that it's like asinine. But, you know, to me, it's like, I don't know. This is a little bit like a hobby of pouring gasoline down the drain or something. It's like, I mean, I'm kind of doing something bad in the pursuit of my hobby. And like I'm not like a big save the earth green guy or anything, but I think I could probably find a hobby that that doesn't actively make the environment worse. You know what I mean? To an extreme degree. I mean, we all make the environment worse to some degree with our hobbies, right? It's like, I mean, even if I'm, I don't know, picking up garbage at a national park, it's like, well, you drove to the national park. But like, I think I could do better than wasting water on a lawn and like putting weird chemicals on the lawn that you're like, Whatever chemical it is, you're like, how many months away am I from seeing a TV ad that's like, have you been harmed by this chemical? You may be entitled to a settlement or something. Which maybe that's the hobby, is like, well, I just use all these chemicals until I accidentally hit on one that entitled me to a settlement. So, you know, that's exciting. Cooking. Yeah, I mean, cooking for me is like, I don't know. It's not a hobby. It's like a thing I do to continue living. It's a little bit like eating, I guess, in that way, is I'm like, I don't, you know, I like eating food that tastes good, but I wouldn't call myself like a gourmet or anything, or someone who's like interested in food that way. I mean, I guess it's just part of being a little bit robotic as a person that you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm just not really interested in whatever. And I'm like, I cook because it's cheaper than buying food all the time. But if like buying food all the time was as cheap and as easy as cooking, then I would absolutely do that. And I don't think I would miss cooking ever. Like ever. It's funny when you're in a relationship, like Poonmaster Flex, I think sometimes enjoys cooking together. I hate it. It's not her fault. It's my fault because it's like cleaning a toilet together. It's like you scrub that side, I'll scrub this side. And it's like, you know what? Doing this together doesn't make it more fun for me and doesn't really improve the end product. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, we can both do this. And that's how it feels to me, is just doing something like that together that you're like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's just as good to do it alone. And if it's just as good to do it alone, then why? Why make someone else suffer through it with you? Radio astronomy, which is receiving signals from a star. I don't even know what that means, but yeah, that's okay. That's a hobby that isn't boring because I don't even know enough about it to know how boring it is. Maybe that's why it's that boring, though. Oh, my God. I do cross stitch. I'm not creative at all, but give me a coded pattern that creates a map, and I'm all over that shit. It's how I quit smoking. That's weird. It's like I can only cross stitch if I'm... It's funny that cross stitching could be like used as a motivator to quit smoking. You know what I mean? People are like, I had kids, so I quit smoking so I could, you know, be alive. And this person's like, I quit smoking so I could do more cross stitching. So I knew I would be alive to do as much cross stitching as possible. I mean, I'm assuming that's not exactly how it worked out, but you know, I guess I could, if there was something I wanted to quit doing, you know, maybe that's a good time to pick up a new hobby. But then you got to pick up an enjoyable hobby, right? You got to be like, all right, I can only do this if I don't smoke. I can only watch Netflix if I didn't smoke today. And if I smoked, no Netflix. You have to read instead. And it's like, that would be really interesting. It's like, okay. And what ended up happening is that I quit smoking and quit reading. This is kind of a backwards one, because I can't go that way. Cross-stitching itself seems fine to me. It just, I don't know. It's one that I'm like not interested in, I guess. Mostly because I don't know what to do with. Once I finish a cross-stitch thing, what do I do with it? This is something that Poon Master Flex has come across, because she is interested in the fibra arts, as they're called often online. And, you know, she started making things a lot for other people and giving them away, because she quickly was like, I don't really have anywhere to like hang this. I don't really want this. You know, I don't. How many donut shaped coasters do you need? I mean, you can have like 50, but do you need 50 or do you need like 5? Geocaching. I'm guessing most people know what geocaching is. It's like where people hide cache, C-A-C-H-E, not a C-A-S-H. I feel like geocaching with a C-A-S-H would be an interesting thing to do, because people would be much more motivated. You're like, I hid $100. See if you can find it. I have a series of clues. That would actually be a great thing to do for this podcast, is to hide like $100 and give clues and, you know, see, and whoever finds it gets $100. That would be kind of fun. Maybe I should do that. Is that geocaching? It doesn't seem like geocaching. It seems like guerrilla marketing for a podcast. It's not exactly paying people $100 to listen to a podcast, but it's not that. let's see. Growing algae. I sometimes grab empty glass containers, ones that I cleaned and wanted to reuse, fill it with water, put in a bit of soil or any organic matter. I have a good collection of algae jars in a big bucket. They don't need much maintenance and they look cool too. It feels good when you see how you've just recycled and produced oxygen for free. I mean, at least I'm not a waste of oxygen. Does that make oxygen? Is that how that works? I don't know if that's how that works. If it's in a jar and it's airtight, have you made oxygen, or is it just, the oxygen from the water is being converted into a gas? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that really works, buddy. I don't know. I don't want to crap on that, but whatever. But here's the thing. Growing algae as a hobby is boring, because it's like, well, how long does it take? You throw some fucking shit in a jar, cap it, and then you're done. It's like, okay. Whatever. Larking, also known by the less glamorous term scavenging or picking. I wander around creeks, the countryside, old tracts of land, middens, etc., and pick up pieces. You can find pieces of old crockery, glass, old coins, rocks, fossils, and pieces of history. Sometimes I use a metal detector, but mostly it is eyes only. I can't keep it all, so I take photos. Look down when out walking. You could find hidden treasures anywhere. I mean, I don't know. This is a lot like the rock collecting, right? Where I'm like, I don't really think I'm going to find shit. you know, I think I'm going to find garbage. I picked up garbage around the library where I worked for a long time during my lunch breaks. I would take a bucket and a grabber and just walk because I was walking around a lot during my lunch breaks and then was like, there's a lot of garbage here. And I was like, I'm going to just pick it up because, like, why not? And, you know, it's kind of the same as walking and whatever. And it was, I never found anything that was like even mildly interesting. It was almost entirely empty Fireball bottles, which are like minis. And I was like, somebody around here is crying out for help. I hope that that's what's happening. Not because I hope someone's in dire straits, but I was like, if this is multiple people doing this, this is concerning. Not on the level of, because one person doing it is concerning because it's an awful lot. But I'm like, if this many people are doing this, what is happening in this town that's got people? They're drinking to forget. Somebody says archery, which I would not qualify as a boring hobby necessarily. I mean, maybe. It's probably pretty boring. And I've always thought it's kind of a dumb hobby that I didn't realize because I hadn't seen the Hunger Games movie until much later. And I was like, oh, this is why so many people were doing archery for a little while there. They saw it in a movie. Now I get it. But it's a dumb hobby because I'm like, why archery as opposed to shooting a gun? I mean, I'm not like a gun guy. I don't own a gun, but I'm also just like, I mean, what's the point of this? I don't know what the point of archery, learning archery is, I guess. And maybe it's pointless, which is fine. Once again, I'm totally fine with pointless. I don't get it. It seems like there are cheaper hobbies that you can do that are just as pointless. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just never something that spoke to me. I did it like in camp, like in scout camp. I guess it seems like something to me. And this is a rare moment of high self-esteem, Pete. So get ready, because this is probably going to be a flavor that you're not used to. I did some archery in scouts and didn't really think it was that hard. I mean, I wasn't good at it. I wasn't great or anything. It wasn't like somebody walked up to me and was like, hi, you know, I'm recruiting for the Olympic team. And boy, you've got what it takes to archer in the Olympics. I just mean like to do it on a competent level. Seems like if you just practice periodically, you'd probably get pretty good at it, you know? And then once you're pretty good at it, then what do? Just keep being good at it? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, even though... It's like, it's hard for me to describe because when I describe it and I'm like, well, once you get pretty good at it, then what do? And I'm like, I mean, that's literally you in like weightlifting. It's like, you're pretty good at it, but you're not amazing. When you kind of just stay good at it, is the hobby is continuing to stay good at it. Oh, yeah. Bird watching. All right. You know, it's something that Poon Master Flex does a lot that makes me crazy. She will ask me what kind of bird a bird is and what kind of plant a plant is. And I can't tell you how many times I've said, I don't know anything about birds or plants. I know the names of almost no birds and almost no plants. I promise you, if it's a bird that you know or that I know, you know it. You know what I mean? I don't know any kinds of birds that you don't know. I promise you. Same thing with plants. I do not know the names of any plants that you do not know. Any flowers, any trees. It's just something I know nothing about. I think like bird watching is like the quintessential boring hobby that like becomes more interesting as you're older. But like, I just don't think bird watching will ever be interesting for me on the level of like seeing different kinds of birds. I guess, you know, this is my limited understanding of birds, but I'm like, I mean, they kind of all do the same shit, right? Like, they do it a little differently, but they're not like doing really different stuff. You're not really watching their behavior. It's like collecting birds. It's collecting the event of seeing a bird. And maybe for me, that's a little too much of a, I don't know. a like three times removed from the activity kind of hobby or something. My pamphlet collection. Whenever I go to an event or a cool place, I always get a pamphlet for my collection. I'm a terrible photographer, and I usually lose half the photos I take and won't remember what they were for anyway. But a pamphlet has professional photos in it that are guaranteed to be good. Pamphlet collection is kind of fun, especially like, I don't even know if this is a thing anymore, because I haven't gone to like, you would go to like the Black Hills in South Dakota, and there's all this tourist trap shit, right? And you stay in a motel or you go to a restaurant and they have that huge display of just like trifold brochures for like, come zip line and come do this and come do that. And I always loved those because it was like, look at all this great stuff we could do. You know what I mean? Look at all these things we could do. You know what would be fun is to do a vacation where you're like, we're just going to go pamphlet to pamphlet. So we're going to go to a place that has a bunch of these pamphlets, pick one out, go there, and then, you know, have to find a pamphlet there and go to something from there. I don't know if that'd be possible, but I feel like in the 90s, that would have been something you could do. You go to like Wisconsin Dells, I guarantee you, you could do a whole vacation that way. I like how, you know, I, as an idiot, plan vacations that are like, this would be an interesting way to take a vacation. As if I've like run out of things that I want to do in my life or see. And it's like, well, I just, you know, let's leave it up to random chance and whatever. Although maybe it's because I feel like my vacation planning skills aren't great. So maybe it's like my brain trying to convince me of, maybe you shouldn't plan your vacations anymore. Maybe you should let fate dictate them. Because A, you doing it doesn't seem to work out all the time. And B, if it doesn't work out, you can blame it on fate. It's not your fault. You know what I mean? You were trying to do a thing. Ugh, board games. Yeah. Yeah, board games are not... I don't enjoy board games because I feel like board games are for people who like reading and understanding rules. You know what I mean? Of like how the game is played. It's like a board game, I think, has gone out of style, and I have no problem with it because like if a board game worked like a video, or if a video game worked like a board game, none of us would accept it. Like none of us. We would sit down, we would start playing the game, and then be like, you know, you have no idea what you're doing or how to do it. And then you just, your character just dies, right? And it's because you violated a rule, but you didn't know it was a rule. It was, you know, something that the game says you can't push up on the controller under these specific circumstances. And, you know, the consequence is that you just die. And so you have to read the entire pamphlet before playing the game in order to understand it. You still screw it up sometimes and like so on and so forth. We would never accept that in a video game. And it's like, yeah, these are better because they're designed such that you can't do those things. You know what I mean? It just doesn't let you do things that are against the rules. And that way, you know, it gets to the core of what you're trying to do much faster and easier. It's a superior form of game. Let's do this last one. Writing long essays about nothing. I will sit down and write paragraphs about bullshit and make it like a rant and then delete them. That's a great segue into telling you that I have a couple Substacks, one about librarian stuff, one about, right now I'm working on a renovelization of Batman and Robin, the terrible, terrible movie that had a novelization I found at the thrift store while making sure no one had donated any of my books to the thrift store. And I'm going back through it and rewriting it like word for word, but then adding in things that I think should be in there that are more correctly expressing the vibe of that movie. So, you know, subscribe to that. And if you want to have a paid subscription to that, I have that option for you. How lucky you are. All right. Well, with that plug, and plugs could also be more boring than this podcast. See you next time.